Jesus. Amen. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, come on. Where do Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You're much more awake than the sunrise service people. So, is that a good word? Jesus is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Because it's full of confidence in God. It is full of hope and assurance. I was reading just last night someone who stated, tweeted something, a tweet. Certainty is the opposite of faith. No. No, Jesus did not die on the cross and rise in victory so that we would be doubtful. If we're going to be doubtful of something, then let's be doubtful of ourselves, but let's be confident in the grace and the power of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. However, having said that, there may be someone somewhere who says, Jesus is risen, so what? And of course, depending on how that is spoken will determine what it means. Jesus is risen, so what? That's dismissive, right? It makes no difference to me. And certainly there are many people who have been in churches who have not let the truth of the resurrection touch their heart, encourage their souls, and direct their lives. If that is anyone here this morning, I think you should ask yourself, if the resurrection is true, and it is, but if the resurrection is true, what will that mean if I dismiss it or I ignore it? If the resurrection is true, what are the implications? What does that mean for me if I dismiss it or ignore it? And I hope, if you're in that spot, you will give that some consideration. Jesus is risen. So what? That's the title of the sermon. And we're going to answer the so what, because it's Easter. And in the sermon today, I want to talk about the mode, the manner, and the meaning. The mode, the manner, and the meaning. We're going to talk about the mode of the resurrection, the manner in which people responded, and the meaning of the resurrection, right? That's going to be the so what. So that's our map for the rest of the sermon. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that we have been given a great confidence. We don't raise ourselves up. We don't find confidence in ourselves. We know that we are weak, we are frail, we are flesh, we can falter. But you have not. You have kept your promises to us. You have brought Jesus, our Savior, and He has risen for our victory. And help us to find strength and confidence, certainty in that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, so to the first item, the mode of the resurrection, there are a few people that will say during Easter, because, you know, I read it just recently again, Jesus rising is metaphysical, metaphorical. You know what? My lips were not awake in the sunrise service. I thought they were awake for the late service. They will wake up. Some people will say that Jesus rising is just metaphorical. It's not literal. They may say Jesus rose in the hearts of his followers. And to think of the resurrection as physical, it's just primitive. Well, what does the gospel direct us to? In verses 5 and 6 of our gospel reading, it says, "Then the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He's not here, he is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he was lying.'" Now, that word risen, it's not a fancy word, is it? It's a pretty simple word. It's not, you know, resurrection is a little more fancy, which means coming back physically from the dead. But risen, or rise, or arose, it's a pretty simple word. Right? What do we mean when we say rise? Rise and shine, sleepyhead. Right? Which is a nice way of saying, you lazy child, get out of bed. Right? So to rise is to get up. So when the angel says, by the way, do not be afraid, I know you're looking for Jesus, that's talking about Jesus physically, right? He's been crucified. He's not here, he has risen. Come and see the place where he's lying. That's physical, right? He rose. He got up. He walked out. He's not there anymore. And a matter of fact, it really takes a couple PhDs after your name to think that that's not physical, but somehow that's just rising in people's hearts. But there are people with PhDs that can teach us that. And not only did Jesus get up from that stone burial slab, he got up from a condition. The Bible is real clear. And so in verse 7 of the text, it says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead. From that condition. And if you rise from the dead, if you get up from the dead, what does that mean? You ain't dead anymore. Right? No way. He's risen, and he is risen indeed. So, let's talk about the manner in which people respond. Because we have the first responders, we have the women that are there, and they believe the good news because they see Jesus is alive, and they see that with their own eyes, and so they grab hold of Jesus, even at his feet, in worship before him. By the way, here's where allegory is not a bad thing. Because we indeed should do that, right? You know, what should be the response to the resurrection? But we grab hold of Jesus. I mean, he's the best thing we got in our lives. Despite all the good things we have, Jesus is the best thing. Grab hold of him in faith. Grab hold of him when you come up to communion and receive the true body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. Grab hold of Jesus every day of your life when you're feeling miserable or when you're feeling joyful. Grab hold of Jesus, right? Now, there are other reactions in this too. Most, but not all, by the way. Most of the chief priests, the elders, that 70-member council, most, they reacted by lying and bribing. But not all of them. There were at least three of them that became Christians. Two of them we learned about in the Gospels, one we'll learn about in the book of Acts. In other words, these people were not going to allow Jesus into their hearts. They weren't going to open their hearts to him because they were too invested in other things. All right, the Lord of life who has come to bring salvation, they're too invested for that because they have other things they got to look out for. They're position, right? Their power and the choice that they already made in the previous chapter of Matthew. What did they say? May his blood, the blood of Jesus, be upon us and our children. Some of you are stubborn Germans. Dissents. Some of you are just stubborn. And maybe you've come to the point in your life where at times you say, I'm not going to change. This is my choice. This is it. Well, if you're making a good choice, good for you. But if you're making a bad choice like these religious leaders, that's the wrong way to go. We always have to have our hearts open to the leading of God. And they simply don't have it. But I like the way one theologian describes this scene. He says, the idea that the disciples stole Jesus' body and proclaimed that he was alive is plausible only if the evidence for the resurrection consists of nothing more than an empty tomb. But the Jewish religious leaders did not have enough money to cover up the fact that Jesus was risen. Furthermore, they could not keep him from appearing to hundreds of his followers, many of whom were willing to die for him. The story of the resurrection is not a lie, but the truth. And it's a cause for exceeding joy among those who love the risen Christ. And it became a joy for some of those who hated the risen Christ too. Right? The Apostle Paul, his first fall, he first went around. He was one of the compatriots of these religious leaders. He goes around arresting Christians. He travels for this. He travels for that. Killing Christians, hating Jesus, and yet he ends up writing a good chunk of the New Testament. Why? Because he encountered the risen and ascended Jesus Christ. God opened the door of his heart, and he didn't close it. Well, people throughout history will choose up sides on Jesus. And they'll choose up sides on the resurrection. Even very early on, in the second century, there's this Greek philosopher, and he is absolutely against the Christian faith and against Christ. And at one time, he says this against the resurrection. I've got to warn you, this is chauvinism, okay? This is I am not in favor of this. But this is what he said. But who really saw the resurrection? A hysterical woman. As you admit, and perhaps one other person, both deluded by his sorcery or else so wrenched with grief at the failure, at the hallucination, that, you know, they thought he was risen from the dead, sort of from wishful thinking. You know, and this isn't fair, okay? I'm not saying this is a good thing. What am I not saying? It's a good thing. I'm not saying that. But in that culture, in the Greek world, in the Jewish world, they deemed a woman's testimony as unreliable. Now, that's not fair, but that's the way it was. So why would the writers of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why would they, in each one of those Gospels, put women as the first witnesses to the resurrection, when that sort of thing wouldn't be approved of in their society in the first place? Here's the answer. Because they were giving an account of what happened. They're not trying to spin a story to do people. So let's go on to the meaning of the resurrection. Jesus is risen. So what? So what? Oh yes, Jesus is risen. Alright, that was a bad time. Alright. What is the meaning of the resurrection? Why should the resurrection be important to us? Now, I'm not saying this is everything, but let me give you just two reasons why the resurrection should be important to us. The first one is this. Because it is a necessary step for Jesus to resume the authority that he had with the Father and the Holy Spirit before his state of humiliation, which is absolutely important. It's vital, or else he's not our Savior. It was an absolute necessary step to resume his authority. So, at the near the end of our Gospel reading, it says that, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth.'" What has been given to Jesus? Yeah, that's a result of, that's post-resurrection. Wouldn't have happened without it. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, the Christians and the Bible itself understands the resurrection as a vindication of Jesus. That he was publicly affirmed by our Heavenly Father in his resurrection. That he indeed is the pleasing Son, who is righteous and holy and raised back to the place of authority in a state of exaltation. Now, there are some people who want very little to do with Christianity because they say they don't like some things in the Bible. Are you tracking with me? Don't fall asleep. You're not early service people, okay? You're not sunrise people. All eyes should be bright. There are some people who will say that they don't want much to do or anything to do with Christianity because they don't like some things in the Bible. And those things can change no matter, you know, depending on what age you live in. Right? I went to the Bible Museum in D.C. a couple times. First time I went, they had this interesting exhibit. It was called the Slave Bible. It wasn't the whole Bible. If I understand correctly, if I remember correctly, that getting the scriptures into the hands of the slaves was a chore in the first place. People didn't want that.
that is slave Bible. But the slave Bible actually was edited down quite a bit. You know, there's certain things they didn't want in there, the slave owners, like the Exodus, God freeing his people from slavery. You see, there in any age are going to be people that don't like things in the Bible. In our age, it's oftentimes issues of sexual morality or this or that. But listen, if Jesus is risen from the dead, and he is, then he has exalted power and authority. So you're going to have to deal with Jesus sooner or later. You can either deal with Jesus now, receiving his love and receiving his forgiveness through faith, not your works, or you can deal with Jesus when he comes again in his glory to judge the living and the dead. If Jesus is risen, and he is, then your objections are absolutely wrong. Because God has vindicated Jesus. And he's done that in the resurrection. Here's a second reason to the so what of the resurrection. Why is it important? Well, obviously, because we have comfort and hope in the resurrection, don't we? Comfort and hope. I remember talking to some atheists once, and they have this defiant spirit, right? We can meet death. And it seems a little prideful, sort of a little bit in your face. We don't need Jesus. We don't need that Jesus crutch. I don't need a Jesus crutch either, you know. You need much more than a crutch. We need Jesus the Savior, right? But here they are. We can face death. We have the strength. Now, it's easy to say things like that, especially when you're not facing it at the moment. And if they live a normal lifespan, they have decades before they die. But I can't believe that that confidence will be there when it actually happens. Just think. Not for you. Not for you. But just think for them. To lose everything that you've ever cared about. Everything that brought you meaning. Everything that you poured your sweat and heart into to achieve. All your happinesses, all your joys, and everyone that you've ever loved, gone forever. If you can meet that with confidence, that's delusional. And God has not created you for that. He has created you again with Christ for eternal life. You see, the resurrection is a superpower for the soul. You know, we have so many movies out there, Marvel movies, these superpower for the soul. And it is Jesus Christ who's risen from the dead. And we need that superpower. Because we go through life with all sorts of trials and troubles. And many of you, probably most of you in here, have already gone through quite a bit. Some have been down to the very depths of darkness and depression. But Jesus is risen. Which means my end is not that darkness and depression. Which means my life, your life, will follow the pattern of Jesus, who though suffered greatly for your sins, ended up in the victory of the resurrection. And so you follow your Savior in all the sufferings that you go through, not that you're paying for your sins, but suffering nonetheless. But that's not the last word on your life. The last word on your life is this: victory. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do we know that? Yes. Death in our life can't do it. You have a hope.
that is greater than your bank account. You have a hope that lasts past your body, this bucket of holes falling apart. You have Jesus, and He is risen, and God's people said,
Amen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.